Content for the following program was provided by the Teton County Library.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
From the back of the stacks.
Library, library, library.
Welcome. I'm Rebecca Huntington. And today on Back of the Stacks, we're featuring Teton County Library's Cabin Fever Story Slam. It's our live storytelling contest featured monthly at the Pink Garter. People put their name in a hat, and if they're lucky to be selected, they take the stage to tell a story in less than 5 minutes. The story is supposed to be true and no notes. The theme of this story slam was solo. Here are two of the winning stories.
All right, you guys, please help me welcome Chris Starin.
For those of you who've been to the Story Slam before, I'm the other one who you haven't heard from before. There are two of us. But I'm going to talk about me. So I don't know about you, but I like first times, experiences where you experience things for the first time. I remember when my friend Steve, who was the coolest guy in high school to me, Steve, taught me how to dance. And Steve's method was you move two parts of your body and you don't make eye contact with anybody. Any two parts. So it'll be like that and like a little nose. And don't look at anybody. And that's how you dance. Got me through high school. I remember the first time I ever kissed a girl, also the last, I was 5 years old. And I kissed the neighbor girl in her basement. I was downstairs and we kissed and it was beautiful, it was magical. I still remember, it was beautiful. But that girl grew up and got married. And I was invited to the wedding, and like I do at every wedding, I went solo. Now get this, this was the girl next door. You know, I was compared to the girl next door. Growing up, she was brilliant, and she was in all the advanced classes. They thought about putting me in the advanced class. That's pretty good. But I didn't get in the advanced class. And she went on to become an academic, very smart, very pretty gal. I'm a school bus driver, and I like driving a school bus. And if you have kids, you tell them to sit down. So I went to her wedding. But, you know, instead of being smart and going, I love to dance. Since Steve taught me to dance, I've loved to dance. Two parts of your body, don't make eye contact. But she invited me to be the DJ at the wedding. And I, like an idiot, said yes. And like a bigger idiot, I said, oh, you have your own music you want to supply? Fine, I won't bring any music. I'll trust that you have a good selection of music for your wedding. So I got there on the day of the wedding. I'm solo, going alone, being compared to her. She's married, she's an academic, she's brilliant, everybody loves her. And they're like, are you still single? You're still single. Okay, great. I was and am. And it's fine. It's totally fine. So I don't know that I've ever felt so alone as when she sat me down with the computer and she said, here, play this music. I'm supposed to get people to dance. And it was all a cappella music. All of it. And the song Purple Rain by Prince, which I can't dance to. And so I'm there sweating bullets because they're setting up, the wedding's going on. I'm supposed to get all this together. I didn't bring music because she said, there's music. She's an academic. She's smart. She should know what kind of music you play at a wedding. What are they teaching these schools? It's clearly not to sit down bottom on the bottom of the seat, back against the back of the seat. I can tell you that. So it comes time for the mother of the groom and the groom to dance. And so I'm like, I don't have music, so what am I? So I find an iPod, and the only song that I can find is Lady in Red. It's a very seductive song. I don't know if you heard it lately, I've only kissed one girl once, but it got me going. And everybody's looking at me, just shut it off, Chris. This is not an appropriate song. I'm like, I don't know. I'm sorry I came, and I'm sorry I'm here alone. I felt so alone. And every time I tried to play like that everybody clap your hands song, people are like, shut it off, put on the acapella music. And I felt terribly alone, because who doesn't like that song? And I didn't get to dance. So I'm going to take my opportunity now.
Help me welcome our next storyteller, Anne Marie. Our winner from the last story slam. There you go.
So, I saved my money for 3 years in order to take a trip to Iceland for my 30th birthday, all by myself. Not only because I am selfish and don't want to have to consult with anybody else about what they would like to do, but also because I feel like whenever I travel alone, magical things happen to me. So when I went to Iceland, I didn't have a plan. I didn't make an itinerary. I didn't have any idea where I wanted to go. Instead, when I arrived to the airport, I asked a random airline worker about his happiest memories in Iceland. And he told me about camping with his family in Vestmannaeyjar when he was growing up. So I pulled out my map, I found Vestmannaeyjar, and I left the airport on foot with my thumb out. And a couple of days later, I got to Vestmannaeyjar. I found another random person, and I asked her about her happiest memories. And so on, I went for over a month. And this accumulated to this final point where I was hiking a 15-mile trail called the Fimvörðuháls Trail. I'm sure you've all heard of it. It goes from Skogar to Þórsmörk, and it crosses lava fields and waterfalls and glaciers. And when I read about it, it said it takes about 8 to 12 hours to complete. And I thought, okay, I am outdoorsy, but I'm not Jackson outdoorsy. I'm like New York outdoorsy, so I'm definitely going to be one of those 12-hour people. I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to start the trail. And I didn't even want to cook lunch along the way. So instead, the day before, I bought a package of miniature cinnamon buns, and I stuffed them all into my side pocket of my pants. And I allowed myself to eat one every half hour. So I'm going along. I pass magnificent waterfalls. I cross over glaciers. I walk across lava fields. I pass volcanic craters. And I see practically nobody, maybe because I woke up at 5 in the morning to do the trail, but not even people passing me the opposite direction. I saw maybe one or two people crossing me every hour. And so after I passed the halfway point, it started to get pretty difficult on my descent. It was very steep and it was very slick. And I found myself at this landing where there was no obvious place to go forward. So I look over one edge and it's just like a 20-foot drop onto jagged rocks. So I'm like, okay, no. And then I look over the other ledge and I see there's a chain connected to the ground. Following the chain down a very steep decline, the chain is now connected to spires screwed into a cliff face, but some of them aren't even in the cliff face. They're just like useless on the ground doing nothing. And then the chain makes a very sharp 90-degree turn around the cliff face. And if you don't follow the chain, you just fall to your death in a ravine. So I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay. So I squat down to grab hold of the chain, and immediately my feet fall out from underneath me. I start plummeting toward the ravine. I take my walking stick and I jam it into the loose gravel, and I reach back with my hand and grab hold of anything. I'm able to stop myself well before the ravine, but I am trembling and I am furious, and I scream, "Who the f*** gets sued here when people dive?" But I regain my composure, and I grab hold of the chain, and I pull myself up, and my pants are all torn, and I had sliced open my palm, and it's bleeding, but my cinnamon buns were fine. But now I'm holding onto this chain for a I don't want to fall to my death grip. So I get to the corner, and as soon as I get to the corner, now I'm face to face with the dorkiest guy. He has Harry Potter glasses and a pack that is way too big with dangling off of it, like shoes and binoculars and water bottles. And I said, I was so startled because I hadn't seen anybody the whole way. I said, oh my gosh, where did you come from? And he said, I am from Poland. And behind him is just a ledge that is wide enough to walk one foot in front of the other while holding onto the chain, and it's about 20 feet long. And he was not going to go back where he came from, and I was not going to go back where I came from, so we decided to switch places on this cliff ledge. I made him go on the outside because his pack was so much bigger than mine that if he fell into the ravine, he might have a cushion. So we're on this corner, and we're trying to switch places, and I grab hold of the chain, and he grabs around me, and we're switching places, and I said, isn't it amazing that we're from two different continents, yet everything we have ever done in our lives? And then he interrupted me, and he said, has led us to this moment right here, right now? And I said, yeah, I think we should kiss. And he did exactly that. He laughed in my face. While we're holding onto this chain to not fall into the ravine. But then he looked back up at me and saw that I was serious, and he said, okay. And he leaned in, and we kissed on the corner of this cliff ledge. And he said, this is a beautiful moment. Maybe we'll meet again. And I said, maybe. And I turned around, and I crossed the ledge to the other side. And when I got to the other side, I looked up at the landing to see if he was there, and he was. And he waved at me, and I waved back, and then I turned around, and I kept walking on my magical journey by myself. Thank you.
Yes, that was awesome.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.